When warmth began to radiate from the stove and the first ray of sunshine lay on the kitchen floor, it seemed to Ethan impossible that Mattie should ever cease to be part of his life.
Daniel Burns going over to the flats today noon. Said he'd take Mattie's trunk along and make it easier riding when he takes her over in the sleigh.
Who asked him to do that?
Why, I did. The new girl will be at the flats at 5. He can take Mattie along so she can catch the train for Stamford.
I'm much obliged to you, Zena.
I'd like to go over a few things first. There's a huckabuck towel missing, and I can't make out what you've done with the copper matchbox used to stand behind the stuffed owl in the parlor.
It had occurred to Ethan that Andrew Hale, who was a kind-hearted man, might be induced to reconsider his previous refusal and advance a payment on some lumber if he were told that Zena's ill health made it necessary to hire a servant. With $50 in his pocket, nothing could keep him from Mattie Silver.
Whoa there, whoa!
Good morning, Ethan!
Miss Hale? Mr. Hale up at the house?
Why, yes! He ain't going to his work this forenoon. He woke up with a touch of lumbago, and I just made him put on one of Dr. Kidder's plasters and set right up to the fire.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I only just heard from Mr. Hale about Zena going over to Bettsbridge to see the new doctor. I'm real sorry to hear she's feeling bad again. I don't know anyone round here had more sickness than Zena.
No.
I always tell Mr. Hale, I don't know what she'd have done if she hadn't had you to look after her. And I used to say the same thing about your mother. You had an awful mean time, Ethan Frome. Up,
up, up. It was a long time since anyone had spoken to Ethan as kindly as Mrs. Hale. And for the first time, he saw what he was about to do.
Go on now.
He was a poor man, the husband of a sickly woman. If he deserted her, she would be alone and destitute. And even if he had the heart to leave her, he could only have done so by deceiving two kindly people who had pitied him.
Got your bag? Did Zena say goodbye?
I think she must be sleeping.
Here, let me help you. Now then, go along. We got lots of time for a good ride, Matt.
His hand reached for hers, and he pressed her fingers in his.
Are you going round by the shadow pond?
I knew you'd know.
They drove slowly up the road between fields glistening under the pale sun. The lane passed into a pine wood, and as they entered, a warm stillness seemed to fall from the branches with the dropping needles.
Whoa now.
This is where we had the picnic.
Remember I found your locket?
Oh, I never saw anybody with such a sharp eye.
You're pretty as a picture in that pink hat.
We mustn't stay here any longer.
There's plenty of time.
They looked at each other, straining to remember the moment forever.
Go along. Matt, what do you mean to do?
I'll try to get a place in a store.
You know you can't do it. The bad air and the standing nearly killed you before.
I'm a lot stronger than I was when I came to Starkfield.
Isn't there any of your father's folks could help you?
There isn't any of them I'd ask.
You know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you if I could.
I know there isn't.
But I can. Oh, Matt, if I could have gone with you now, I'd have done it. Would you have wanted to be with me?
Oh, Ethan. Ethan, what's the use?
Tell me.
I used to think of it sometimes. Summer nights. When the moon was so bright, I couldn't sleep.
As long ago as that. I'm tied hand and foot, Matt. There isn't a thing I can do.
You must write to me sometimes, Ethan.
Oh, what good will writing do? I want to put my hand out and touch you. I want to do for you and care for you. I want to be there when you're sick and when you're lonesome.
You mustn't worry so. I'll be all right.
Oh, you won't need me, you mean. I suppose you'll marry.
Oh, Ethan!
I don't know how it is you make me feel, Matt. I'd almost rather you were dead than that.
I wish I was. Oh, I wish I was.
Well, don't let's talk this way.
Why shouldn't we when it's true? I've been wishing it every minute of the day.
Matt, you be quiet. Don't you say it.
There's never anybody been good to me but you.
Don't you say that either when I can't lift a hand to help you.
I know. But it's true just the same.
They had reached the crest of the Corbury Road. Oh. An icy slope stretched away before them. It was where the young people of the town came to coast and make merry on starry winter nights.
How'd you like to come coasting with me, Matt? We said we would, didn't we?
Why, there isn't time.
There's all the time we want. Come along.
But the girl, she'll be waiting at the station.
Let her wait. Come on. There's a sled over there. I'll just put a blanket on the horse and then I'll take you down.
She seated herself obediently on the sled. And he took his place behind her.
All right, Matt?
It's dreadfully dark. Are you sure you can see?
I could go down this coast with my eyes shut.
Nevertheless, he sat still a moment, straining to see down the long hill.
Here we go. Don't be scared, Matt. Were you scared I'd run into that elm?
I told you. I'm never scared with you.
There's a tricky place, though. At least swerve. We never come back up again. I guess this sled must be Ned Hale's. I'll leave it where I found it.
Is this where Ned and Ruth kissed each other? Oh, Ethan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Matt, I can't let you go. What do we do?
It's time.
You don't suppose I'm gonna leave you now?
If I missed my train, where'd I go?
Where are you gonna go if you catch it? What's the good of either of us going anywheres without the other now?
Ethan, I want you to take me coasting one more time. So we'll never come up anymore.
What do you mean?
Right into the big elm. So we'd never have to leave each other again.
What are you talking about? You're crazy.
Where will I go if I leave you? I don't know how to get along alone. Nobody but you was ever good to me. And there'll be that strange girl in the house. She'll sleep in my bed where I used to lay nights and listen to hear you come up the stairs. Come on.
She reached for his hand. The slope below them was deserted. He took his seat on the sled, and Mattie instantly placed herself in front of him.
Get up.
No.
I want to sit in front.
Well, how can you steer in front?
I don't have to. We'll follow the track.
Get up. Well, why do you want to sit in front?
Because I want to feel you holding me.
He felt for the tracks worn in the ice by those young people who had gone before and placed the runners of the sled carefully between the edges. Her breath on his neck set him shuddering again, and he almost sprang from his seat. But in a flash, he remembered the alternative. She was right. This was better than parting. He leaned back and drew her mouth to his.
I'm ready.
Halfway down, there was a sudden drop. As the sled took wing, it seemed to Ethan that they were flying indeed, far up into the cloudy night, with Starkfield immeasurably below them, falling away like a speck in space. As the great elm came into sight below them, Matty pressed her arms around Ethan, and her blood seemed to be in his veins.
Mine's cold here. The fire must be most out.
And so it was that I found the clue to Ethan Frome and began to put together this vision of his story.
The fire has only just been made up this very minute. Xena fell asleep and I thought I'd be frozen stiff before I could wake her up.
There ain't no wood in the woodpile, Ethan.
This is my wife.
Mrs. Frome?
And Miss Matty Silver. I'll go fetch some logs for the stove.
I seated myself in the poor-looking kitchen, with Ethan's wife, Xena, and Matty Silver, wasted and grown old. It was said in town that when Xena heard of the accident, she stayed with Ethan over at the minister's where they'd carried him. And as soon as the doctors said Matty could be moved, Xena sent for her and took her back to the farm. Matty never had the use of her legs again, needed Xena for every little thing. And Xena did for her, and did for Ethan as best she could. And people thought that strange, because before the accident, she couldn't even care for herself.
Snow's coming down even harder now.
Is it, Ethan?
We ain't all burned up with the heat or froze with the cold. Ain't nothing we can do about it.
Some said it was a pity that Matty Silver survived. If she had died, then Ethan might have lived, instead of them all being shut up in that kitchen with not a dime to spare. It was terrible indeed to hear the two old women go on at each other, and to see the pain on the face of Ethan Frome. It was possible that he had suffered most of all. And as the night darkened, and every creature took shelter from the cold, it seemed to me there wasn't much difference now between the Fromes up at the farm and the Fromes down in the graveyard, lying silent, frozen, under the drifting snow.